ask you to let our musicians be seated, and I so appreciated that song service. Amen. And the specials, I really appreciate Sister Hannah and Brother Jordan, your music, and Brother Tony, of course. He's always here, you know. He's our trooper, our leader, right? We appreciate it, brother. We sure do. How many of you come expecting tonight?
Amen.
You know, I believe God will give you exactly what you come expecting. You know, if you come and you say, you know what, God, I've got a need, God can pull this piece of clay completely out of the way, and He'll direct it right to your need.
Amen.
Amen. You pull it. It's the congregation that operates the gift.
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely. So we want to go to the Lord and the scriptures in St. Jude, chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. I want to speak to you tonight on earnestly heed to the call. Earnestly heed to the call. Jude 1, 3 through 7. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Had a glitch in the computer there. I'll go ahead and keep reading. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, the suffering of vengeance of eternal fire. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to be together with friends, Lord, of a like precious faith, Lord. And Father, we recognize, Lord, that we need you to come. Because, Father, you are the one that gives life, Lord. No preacher can give it, Lord. No singer can do it. It's only you, Father.
Sure.
We just have to work according to your ways and your wills. And that's what we want, Father. We want to come your way. We love you tonight. Be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You can be seated. These angels left their habitation. And the people of the Sodom and Gomorrah, they gave themselves over to fornication. And to give yourself over to something means that you didn't start that way. You gave yourself over to it.
Right.
And a man or a woman does not just, it doesn't just give yourself to somebody. There's something that takes place, and eventually they give themselves over to it. And there was a standard that they had, and they had to go beyond that standard. A young boy or a young girl, they have a veil over them. It's the best way I know how to explain this. A young boy or a girl has a veil over them that would keep them and refrain them from reaching out and grabbing that girl or that boy's hand, or to go beyond and kiss them on the lips. There's a veil there. There's something that keeps them from doing that, and you have to keep bucking against that. What it is, it's a voice that tells you not to do that. And you'll keep pushing, and you'll keep pushing, and eventually that boy or that girl, at first they're too shy, they're too bashful, there's no way they would even consider to kiss this boy or this girl, but what happens is they'll keep feeling a pressure, a temptation, and they'll finally break that veil and they'll do it. But once they do that, not only can they do it, they'll want to do it.
Right.
That's right. It's a veil, it's a standard. And I believe that these people of Sodom and Gomorrah, the angels, there was something that kept pushing and prodding them. And I want to encourage you and remind you tonight that we have an adversary that his job, his mission, the thing he wakes up in the morning, if we could call it that way, it's to get you to go beyond the standard that God gave us and to go into a perversion of what Satan has for you.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Right?
As long as we are fortified behind the word, we are an invincible army. So what Satan will do is try to get us away from the word, because it is the word that keeps us. Amen?
Yeah.
The veil was a fear to keep them from doing something. And if they keep overriding that voice long enough, they will silence that voice. That voice that told them to stop doing something. get out of the way so we can get going, okay? Bear with me. Brother Branham talks about a gold prospector. And this gold prospector was be out in the woods, and you know, he had a dog, and I'm just going to call him Fritz for the namesake of the story. This gold prospector had this dog named Fritz, and without a doubt, they probably went hunting together. They had great times. They went fishing together. They were buddies. You know, anybody ever had a dog that was a buddy? There ain't nothing like it, you know, other than a horse. Maybe a horse is a good buddy, too. I've had those. Hannah's always wanted one. I kind of failed in that part of the department. But, you know, maybe on the other side we'll have one, sister. But you know what? This man had this dog. He was a gold prospector, and he had this dog, and he loved this dog. They spent good times with one another. But this dog wasn't just a friend. This was a dog that was a protection. Not just a comfort, but a protection. And this man, they were friends with this dog, and as long as he was poor and broke, he loved that dog. He had time for the dog. But what happened is his gold prospector struck gold, and he was on his way back to the cabin with his gold, and old Fritz got to barking and a growling. And he said, "Fritz, knock it off. Be quiet, Fritz. I'm a rich man. Tomorrow, we're going back to the hut tonight, but tomorrow morning, we're going to town. We're going to cash in, and I am done with this wilderness. I'm done with the outdoors. I'm going to live a good, easy life." And old Fritz, he kept growling and barking and barking, and he said, "Fritz, shut up. Knock it off, Fritz." And they're going on, and Fritz kept getting more aggressive, more aggressive, more aggressive. And you know what he did? The same dog that he went hunting with, the same dog he went fishing with, the same dog that was his best friend, he shot that dog. And then he said, "You know what? I don't even need you anymore." He said, "Because tomorrow I'm a rich man." He kills that dog. He goes to his house. Lo and behold, there was a man that had been tracking him all this way. And old Fritz was trying to warn him. And he killed Fritz. He went home and went to his cabin, and the man killed him and took his gold. You know, that dog was a voice. That dog was a voice trying to call out to him. Mind you, it's the same voice that was the comforter. It was the same voice that was there whenever he didn't catch no fish. His dog still loved him.
Right.
Aren't you thankful for that, brothers?
Yes.
A dog that'll love you even though you don't catch fish. Brother Tim probably never has that problem. That's why you don't like dogs, I guess, maybe. I don't know. I guess he does like dogs. But Brother Daniel, there's lots of times I don't catch fish. I thank goodness for a good dog. My wife loves me too. My kids love me. But this same dog was a comforter. And he was also the protection. And listen to me. The same voice of God that can be your comforter, that tells you how much he loves you, how much he adores you, so shows you I've got plans for your life. It is your protector. But Satan's job is to get you to kill that voice.
Right.
But I want to encourage you to heed earnestly unto the voice. Mm. Just a real quick quote. Brother Brim says, now, he is addressing, talking about the scripture we just read. He talks about that. He says, now, he is addressing to the church, telling them, just to those that are sanctified in God, preserved in Christ and called. Now, he said, now, you're the people that I'm talking to. And you will earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now, not a faith that was delivered, but the faith that was delivered. Did you notice there? The faith that was once delivered to the saints, not just a faith. Some people says, well, that's against my faith. There's only one faith. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. Something's popping. I'm going to get rid of this film right now. There's only one faith, one Lord, one God, one baptism, one faith, one doctrine. And now people say, well, I have a faith and I go to my own church. Well, that's not what Jude's speaking to here. He's talking to the people that's to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now, the only way that we're going to ever know what's, if we can only find out what the faith is, then we can earnestly contend for that faith.
Right.
Is that right? What the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now, if we'll go back to where they were first called saints, find out what kind of faith they had, then we'll know more or less what to contend for.
Now, when the church was called saints, was after they were sanctified. The word sanctify or saint come sanctify, meaning clean, pure, holy, unadulterated, and so forth. Now, if that was the beginning of the church, then it was inaugurated at the day of Pentecost. Now, the message was given to unveil the person and the presence of Jesus Christ. Is that right?
Amen.
It's not to give you a head knowledge. It's very important that we catch this, brother and sister.
Amen.
The message was given to unveil the person and the presence of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So it's not to know a bunch of quotes. It's to know who he is, to see him. You can look all down through the scriptures and say, wow, that was him. That was him. That was him. That's what the prophet come for. Amen. Brother Branham did not spend his time telling people, now follow me, follow me, follow me. He always pointed them back to the Word, which is what made him a prophet.
Amen. Amen.
He didn't point to himself. He always pointed back to the Word. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 18, it says, "For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." It is one thing for man to say he is, that God is with him, and it's another thing for God to confirm that he is with that man.
Amen.
And with that ministry. You say amen.
Amen.
If Brother Branham was to say, "I'm a prophet," but God did not vindicate that he was a prophet, there would be something wrong with that.
Right.
But God confirmed it by the pillar of fire.
Amen.
But not just with the pillar of fire, but everything he preached went right back to the Word. And brother and sister, it's so important that we understand that. That what made him a prophet was he went back to the scriptures. He did not bring his own ideas about something.
Right.
And brother and sister, we must do that exact same thing ourselves.
Right.
For we know where we're standing is in this Word. It's in this Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Now in the Old Testament, there was a sister by the name of Hannah that had a calling in her heart to bring forth a child. And Hannah went through a great, tremendous travail. This was a woman that had gifts, had all these things, but she didn't have a child. She was barren. There was a call inside Hannah's heart for a child.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when a person has a call inside their heart, it can bring you to a tremendous travail when you have a call. But you know what? That's where God needs to get us sometimes in order for God to be able to work in our life, in order for God to get us through that shell. Sometimes God's got to bring us through great travail. You know, you take a little chicken, a little chick that's inside that egg. You know, he's born with something on the top of his beak to where he can rub that shell over and over and over and over. And you cannot help that little chick get out of that shell. He's got to do it himself. Because if you help that chick, you will kill him. And you know, that's a lot like us. We are in a shell so many times, and God is calling you to push, fight, fight, fight. Get through that shell.
Amen.
You know what? So many times we'll say, "Why don't you help me? Why don't this brother help me? Why don't this sister help me?" Brother and sister, it's because God wants you to fight your battle.
Amen.
God's given you the equipment that you need, and God put a seed inside that little thing before the foundation of the world. It was there. It was already equipped. But what's God going to do? He's going to draw the life out of that seed. That little chick had no idea that he had the equipment inside of him to overcome his battle.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
You are equipped to overcome. But you must do it God's provided way. That little chick, he could try to do kung fu kicks on the egg all he wants to. It never worked. He's got to do it God's way. I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on to the high calling of my Lord. That old shell seemed like it ain't even moving. I'm sure that old devil's like, "You may as well quit." You can hear everybody else outside there shouting, rejoicing, dancing in the spirit, having a great time, but here you are in this shell. And all you can hear is the echoes. Listen to me. I don't want to hear echoes of somebody else's victory.
Amen.
I want my victory.
Amen.
And you know what? The way I will get my victory is I've got to press the battle.
Amen.
Listen to me. That's what you got to do. You got to get out of your feet. You got to stand up and say, "You know what? I will win this war." according to God's provided way.
Amen.
Because God gave that little chick the ability to overcome. If he can do that to a little bitty chickie, how about a bunch of eagles?
Amen.
How about the army of the living God? Listen to me, you are not some countdown, something. You're the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And God has called you to overcome.
Amen.
I'm speaking to overcomers tonight. Amen?
Amen?
Now this woman, Hannah, she had a tremendous travail. And it was a call. She felt defeated. She felt empty. She felt like she was missing something. What was it? A call. Listen to me, there's so many times a person can go through that where you feel like, I'm so defeated, I feel so empty, I feel so unfulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? A call.
Right.
I believe without a doubt, Abraham, before God called him, I believe without a doubt, he felt unfulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Abraham didn't know why. He got all these fake gods and all these different things, but for some reason he thought there's got to be something. Like that little chicken in the little barnyard, and the little eagle got there and got put inside those chickens, and that eagle, even though he tried to act like a chicken, he was never satisfied.
Right.
He would never be satisfied until he finally heeded to the call.
Amen.
And started doing what he was called to do.
Amen.
An eagle is not called to sit around in a barnyard.
Right.
We are called to fly, brother and sister.
Amen.
Amen. This woman, Hannah, had a tremendous travail, and we know the scriptures, how she poured her heart out before the Lord and through Eli, because that was God's provided way, right? And God said, you're going to have this child, and she lent her son to the Lord, okay? We know the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
She lent this child to the Lord. The evident fruit of Hannah's call was the manifestation of Samuel.
Right.
She could have said, I've got this call. I'm so uncomfortable. I don't know what to do. I feel so unfulfilled. I don't know what to do. I feel so, and she's crying out to God. And you know, it's like, don't I give you more gifts and all this? And I don't want gifts. I want the baby, because that's the only thing that's going to satisfy this call. And listen to me, if you're the bride of Jesus Christ, God's calling you for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you will not be satisfied with anything until you get that real Holy Ghost.
Right.
And you know what? Whenever she had Samuel, she gave him to the Lord. Any woman could have taken their child and say, I'm going to lend him to the Lord. God's not going to take just anybody. It was an ordained purpose for Hannah to bring forth her love, and for him to be Samuel, and for Samuel to be the prophet.
Right.
Which will be the deliverer. So anybody can say, I'm the bride. Anybody can say, I'm the church.
Right.
But it takes God to commend it, to
Amen.
Prove that it is.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
This woman had a call inside her heart. This woman had something inside her that was groaning, and through her desperation of fighting and pressing and saying, God, help me get through this thing. Help me, God. Desperation, felt empty, felt unfulfilled. But through her pressing on, brother and sister, God gave her the deliverance that she was needing. And her deliverance became the deliverer
Amen.
The children of Israel. How awesome is that? You know, whenever you will keep fighting your battle and you keep pressing, your deliverance will be the deliverer for somebody else.
Right.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Whenever you're fighting that battle and you're like, I don't know how I can get through this thing. It's tough. It's black. It's dark. Keep fighting.
Amen.
Because when you get through that, your deliverance will be the deliverer for somebody else.
Amen.
You ever hear somebody, you're going through a trial and he's like, I don't know how I'm doing. Somebody say, hey, I've been through what you're going through. And I got through it by the grace of God. It brings a fire inside you. Like, really? Praise God. That's what God has called us for, brother and sister. I believe on that day, on that other side, there'll be people with a lot of excuses, but there will not be any room for excuses, because there'll be somebody else who will do the exact same battle.
Amen.
Right. Yeah.
But you know what? They didn't make excuses. They kept pressing on.
Amen.
Listen to me. We are not hotbed plants. You go to Arizona or Utah, you out in the desert, you put a hotbed plant inside there, it won't make it. You have to baby and prod it and water it and rub it, and you go one day without water, that thing will die.
Yeah.
But you've got those other plants that are out there, they were born to fight. They were born to survive.
Yeah.
What was it? Those things will, if you dig underneath, there ain't nothing but sand. But how was it? They keep fighting.
Amen.
It's something on the inside of them because they are equipped to overcome.
Right.
Listen, God has not called us, this church, to be a people that's so bowed down where you have to be babied and prodded and encouraged all the time. We all need encouragement sometimes. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But you are to be hard soldiers, brother and sister.
Amen.
We got to man up and say, you know what? I don't go by my feelings. I'm a son of God.
Amen.
I'm a daughter of God. I know God's calling my heart, and I'm going to heed to his call.
Amen.
Amen. I'm seeing that clock, and it scared me. I don't know, because I ain't even got past the first page, so I'm going to move real quick, okay? Y'all stay with me. This was a call in Hannah's life, and when a person is under the burden of a calling from God to do something, it can bring them to a tremendous travail. And any person or a church that claims to be the bride, they can claim they're the bride of Christ, but it takes God to bring the confirmation that they are what they say they are. Now, God has got a pattern and the way he's always done things, and God never breaks that pattern. And when you put a seed into the ground, there is a calling on the inside of that seed to manifest something. It's something on the inside of that seed that God put there, and it has a call inside of it. It's a deep call to the deep. Can you say amen?
Amen.
See, the seed on the inside of it is a calling for a manifestation, and there must be a, if there's a call for a manifestation out of that seed, there must be a manifestation for it to have. Now, I want you to catch what I'm trying to say. You feel what I'm trying to say. For you to have a calling inside your heart, a groaning on the inside of you, that I've got to have something more, there's got to be more for you.
Right.
But you've got to come God's provided way. Because if you don't come God's provided way, you will continually bump your head against the wall. Amen.
Amen.
Genesis 1, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. These seeds were already inside the ground. God didn't immediately put seeds there. See, there were, the seeds were already in the ground.
Right.
But what did God do? God sent his Spirit across the he said, let there be light. His Spirit went across, and his life began to draw out the life from the seed.
Right.
You say amen.
Amen.
The seeds were already there. They needed the light. Listen, you're already the seed. You need the light. And the only light that we have, brothers and sisters, we can't try it our own way, our own thinking. We can't. We must take the word for this day. Because it's got a light. It's got a drawing power to pull the potentials out of that seed. All right? So the Spirit of God wooed upon the earth. And when the Spirit wooed upon the earth, it was calling the life from the seed. Don't kill that voice when God is pulling the strings of your heart, brother and sister. It is God wooing you.
Amen.
It is God wooing you, a manifestation from you. God has put a deep call to the deep inside your heart for more of God, more of the Word, more of the Holy Ghost. The reason God's doing that is he has more for you.
Amen.
Amen. So did the Spirit of God come upon the earth, and these seeds were under the darkness? It looked absolutely impossible. But listen to me. God called the seed. The seed had nothing to do with it. Or the people had nothing to do with it. Even the seed didn't do that. Because the seed didn't do it.
Right.
God placed the seed.
Amen.
Now, Brother Tony is a good farmer. Or a good gardener, I guess. I don't want to be classified as a farmer. Maybe you do. I don't know. He wears overalls. But you know what? A farmer, we as farmers, as people, because we're just common folk, right? We can go out and sow seed, and we can forget where we put the seed. We can put seed out there, and we can make a mess of things because we're common folk.
Right.
But God is precise about his seed. God is so strategic about his seed. He knows where every seed is at. Say amen. He's so precise. He makes the planets so positionally placed that one interaction of one planet will cause another reaction from another planet, from another reaction from another planet, and it causes everything to work exactly as it's designed to do, and it absolutely works perfect.
Right.
Because it's precise. And that's the way God does. If God can do that for the planets, how much can he do it for seed?
So God has always had seed. And it's not just scattered and hoping that, you know, a light will eventually find the seed somehow by mistake. Nothing's by mistake by God. God is designed. He's perfect. And the devil will come and he'll try to cause problems, but God will use that little knucklehead to fulfill his purpose. You say amen.
Amen.
That devil ain't nothing but a hammerhead. You know why he's a hammerhead? He can't even swing himself. He can't do nothing unless God allows it. And God will allow Satan to do certain things in his life to fulfill his purpose. So when we have trials come upon our life, listen to me, the reason we have trials, when a lot of times I think we get this misunderstood, this part. The reason we have trials, it's not that God can test us, it's that God can test his word. Because you can't pass the test. You'll never pass the test. You're human. You will fail every single time.
Right.
10 out of 10, you will fail.
Yeah.
Can you say amen? If you don't think you will, then I need to change places. You need to get up here and preach. We will fail every time in ourselves because it's not us that's trying. It's the Word.
Amen.
And the Word has already proven that it can pass the test.
Amen.
You will never pass the test in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You will fail every time.
Yeah.
Now, the devil will let you win a little bit. When I was a young teenager, I go to the skating rink. You know what I said? I'm just going to repent and get it over with. We'd arm wrestle. And I was a lot stronger than most of the people there. So I'd let them win one or two times. And I'd even put a little fight, act like I'm really straining. And they'd say, you know what? Double or nothing. Said, now you're talking. Boom! 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 That devil does that same thing, brother and sister. You think that devil's going to slam you the first time? He will let you get by with something a little bit. What about Samson? Mm-hmm. Samson went over to Delilah. Delilah went to the world, dabbled with the Delilah for just a little bit, thought he got away with it. Over and over and over again, he dabbled with it, got away with it. That devil will let you keep playing. And keep playing and keep playing until it's time to set the hook.
Right.
And then once he sets the hook, brother and sister, it's hard to get free.
Amen.
Matter of fact, you can't do it by yourself.
Amen.
You need God.
Amen.
It's so important that we remember that we don't want to keep dabbling with stuff. Samson kept flirting with the world and it finally got him. It cost him his eyesight.
Right.
Listen to me. You know your Bible. You know the thing that Satan tries to tempt you with.
Yeah.
You know the thing that he will try to keep pulling you over to that camp.
Mm-hmm.
He'll keep calling you. Achan knew he should not have those Babylonian garments.
Right.
Achan knew he should not be putting those things in his tent. Achan knew I should not be doing this. He overrid that voice. And listen to what I'm saying. Catch this. Because Achan overrid that voice and he walked in disobedience to the word of God. He walked in disobedience to the call. It cost other people their life.
Right.
Listen to me. Our disobedience, you could cause harm for somebody else.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Right.
Brother Brent said somebody with a bad attitude, you can mess up the entire, you can knock somebody else out of their healing because of your bad attitude.
Right.
If our stinky, rotten attitude can affect, imagine that somebody needs a healing, but because we have a bad attitude, we can cause a hindrance to somebody. It's so important that we heed to our call. Listen to me, Achan, how many days did Achan, that probably was not the first time.
Right.
Achan gave himself over to the Babylonian garments.
Right.
Listen to me, he gave himself over to it. That devil will not tempt you one time. He will tempt you over and over and over and over. He'll keep waving in front of you to catch your attention, waving in front of you to catch your attention, waving in front of you to catch your attention. And you resist it and you resist it. And that devil will keep trying. He will keep trying. What's he trying to do? Get you away from the word.
Right.
Listen to me. The word is our victory. When we get away from the word, we're going in ourself,
and in ourselves, if we're tried in ourselves, we will fail.
Yeah.
Anytime the army of the Church of the Living God got away from the Word, they always failed. Is that true?
Yeah.
Every time. Listen to me, that devil will try so hard to get us away from the light. Because you know what? As long as that seed is in the light, it's drawn from the water, the two of the trees planted by the water, they shall not be moved. As long as we're drawn from the water, we're filling the light, we're in the environment that God provided us with. Listen to me, you have a natural capability inside you that you can overcome.
Mm-hmm.
So Satan, what will he do? He'll get you away from the water, he'll get you away from the light. He'll get you away from the water. What's the water, Brother Daniel? The preaching of the Word, but not just the preaching of the Word, brother. It's the Spirit.
Right.
Satan will try so hard to get you away from the Spirit. The letter killeth, the Spirit gives life.
Right.
If you have just the letter, you'll be right by the law, by the letter of the law, but you'll have no Spirit inside you.
Right.
Listen to me. We need the Spirit, brothers. And you take a cactus. You know what that cactus is? It's prickly and it pokes everybody. And you touch a cactus, it hurts and it hurts for a long time. It's because that cactus is away from the water.
Mm-hmm.
It's away from, because you take that same cactus and put it in the presence of the right environment. Listen to me. That same cactus has the potential to be a beautiful flower. But it's away from the water. Listen to me. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to make you prickly to where whenever you interact with other people, they have a bad taste in their mouth. They have a bad experience from you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Am I telling you the truth tonight?
Amen.
Listen, we need the water.
Mm-hmm.
We need the provided way. But we got to stay with the Word, stay with the light, and stay in harmony. Because whenever you're in your battle and it's dark and you don't feel anything, you don't see anything, what you got to do? Keep fighting, keep pressing, stay with the Word.
Amen.
Listen to me, but not just the Word, brother and sister. Lord, I need your Spirit.
Amen.
God, I need a refilling of your Holy Ghost.
Amen.
God, I need you. I need you, Lord. They got the call, but you've got to heed to the call. Work with the call. Listen to me. Whenever you're going through a time when you're feeling beat down and I don't know how I can overcome, use that to your advantage.
Right.
Listen to me. Use your weakness to your advantage. How do I do that, Brother Inya? Whenever you are weak, that's when you can really pray. Whenever you are weak and you feel defeated and you feel empty and you feel like I can't do it anymore, that's a perfect time for you to interact with God in a way that you normally can't do.
Right.
So in your trial, it's actually a really great blessing because it puts you in a state of mind, a state of spirit to where you can humble yourself before God like never before. You can be in greater travail as never before because of the trials. God will use Satan to bring you to a great travail.
Right.
Hannah was in great travail. Why? The stinking devil. That devil would haunt her and haunt her and haunt her and say, you have no baby, you have no life, you ain't got this, you ain't got that. Listen to everybody else. They listen to that baby cry over there to that mama. Listen to that baby over there. Where's your baby? Where's your life? Where's your Holy Ghost? Where's your move of God? Where's this? That devil hounded her over and over again. Said, look at them. They've got revival. Look at this person. They've got the revival. Where's your revival? You tell me that said he didn't do that to her. But what did she do? She used it to her advantage. She took what the devil was giving at her and went to war with it. She went to prayer with it. Said, oh, God. And whenever she began to pray, brother and sister, she prayed in great travail. And she broke through herself.
Amen.
Right.
Brother and sister, you see what I'm talking about tonight?
Amen.
When you're going through a trial, use that to your advantage.
Amen.
That's an opportunity for you to listen to the Word in a way you normally couldn't listen to it.
Right.
Because you're in need.
Right.
They that are whole don't need a physician.
Right.
But we need it. I'm holy, but not the holy thing. I've got all kinds of holes. God, fill the holes.
You say amen.
I got needs. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I need help, God. Brother and sister, that's a time when God can give himself to you. That little woman that was bound by sin, and she, you know what? She was just nothing to her. She felt defeated. She felt empty. She felt broken, and nobody wanted to help her.
But you know, Jesus was invited to this man's house. They invited Jesus to their house.
Right.
Jesus will come where he's welcome.
Yeah.
They said, Jesus, why don't you come to our house? Why don't you come to our supper? And Jesus went to their supper and he never washed his feet. They never gave him the sincerity that he deserved.
Mm-hmm.
They never gave him the devotion that he deserved. This was God in flesh. They said, will you come? He said, yes, I'll come. And they put him over in a corner somewhere.
Right.
And did not give him the respect. Listen to me. The presence of God was right in their midst. And they did not respect the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And pushed it to the side. I feel that so strong right now. They literally had the presence of God right in their midst. But because they did not respect it, they did not act, they did not recognize it, they put it in a corner. But here was a woman under great travail.
Right.
This was a woman under serious trial. This was a woman that was full of mistakes. This was a woman that was not perfect. This was a woman that depended on the grace of God.
Right.
Listen to me. I depend on the grace of God very heavily.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
I would be totally lost without the grace of God. I have absolutely no room at all to look down on anybody.
Right.
That whether they're a sinner, whether somebody going to another church, I mean absolutely nobody. Because without the grace of God, brother and sister, I would be just like, probably way worse than they are.
Right.
Yeah.
By the grace of God. This was a woman that was defeated. She felt beat down. She felt empty. She felt so terrible. She felt just like I don't know who, I'm not even worth living. And I didn't bring the quote, but the prophet said this. He said, whenever that woman went to Jesus, she recognized who he was. And when she recognized who he was, it released the power of God. It released the forgiveness for her.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to me. In your trial, when you recognize God is with you,
mm-hmm.
it releases the power. It's whenever you recognize he is with me.
Mm-hmm.
His word is with me. And I want to nail this real quick. I know I'm running short on time. I know. But listen. Whenever you're going through the trial, it's not to test your flesh, because your flesh will fail every time.
Right.
God is testing the word.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you take that word inside your heart and say, the word says. And that's why whenever Jesus was tempted by the devil, how did he defeat him? By the word.
Right.
He said, well, you know what? You're hungry. Turn these stones to bread. What did he do? He used the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every
Amen.
Word that proceeded out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
He didn't come to him with some kind of supernatural power, because if he did that, how could we defeat him? We don't have that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when Jesus came before him, he defeated the devil in the capacity of a man.
Right.
Jesus stepped in flesh. He didn't use some source of strength that we don't have. He defeated him exactly how we can defeat him. And
Amen.
The way he did that, brother and sister, he used the word.
Amen.
Amen. So in your trial, heed to the call. Oh, I'm closing right here. But listen to me. I want to implore you with all that's inside me to heed to the call in your life. For
Amen.
God is calling you as a son or daughter of God. Whenever God will put a tug in your heart, I'm talking down to the simple things. God will put a tug in your heart to raise your hand to the Lord. Whenever you raise your hand to the Lord, that's obedience to the Lord. Do you realize when you do that, you are opening up the gates where the presence of God can come down?
Amen.
And it's not just for you. You're actually opening the presence where somebody beside you can feel the presence of God. How? Because you are heeding to the call. Whenever God is putting a tug in your heart to pray, God puts a tug in your heart to read your Bible, God puts a tug in your heart to, whenever you heed to that call, you get a deliverance, but it's not that God will use your deliverance to be somebody else's deliverer.
Amen.
Listen to me, whenever you will be obedient, when God will tug at your heart to pray, God will tug at your heart to listen to a tape, God will tug at your heart to do something, when you are obedient to that, you will give yourself a deliverance. And God, your deliverance will be a deliverer for somebody else.
Amen.
Samuel was a deliverer. This Samuel is a wonderful testimony for him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Samuel was a wonderful testimony for Hannah, but you know what? She had to go through the travail to get the victory.
Let's
all stand. Brother and sister, I want the evident fruit of the seed that God's called me to be.
Yeah.
It's, I don't want to say I'm the bride of Christ. I want my life to bear the fruit. Because it's God commending it. Amen?
Amen.
In closing, I'm going to say this one last thing. And that when the camp of Israel, when the camp of Israel were coming out of Egypt, there was a lot of people that were inside that camp. And even though they were inside the camp, they had already left the camp. They were in the camp, but they had left the camp a long time ago.
Right.
And that's why Dathan was able to get to them. Because they were in the camp, but they were not in the camp.
That's right.
And that's exactly what that devil will do. Because how many times would they flirt with the world, flirt with the false god, but oh, well, here's the camp, I'm with the camp.
That's right.
They're still here.
That's right.
Day after day, they would do things. They know they're not supposed to do the things, but they're going to do it again. And they look over, oh, the camp's still there. I'm going to go get back to the camp. I'm still with the camp. I'm marching on. We're with the pillar of fire. We got the light. We're in the camp. Their heart was not in the camp. And listen to me, there was a hidden movement that was happening all the time. There was one movement that was happening to where they were falling away, where they were going to fall away, where they were going to fall into a backslidden condition that they could never come out of. But at the same time, there was a Caleb and Joshua. There was another hidden movement that was taking place all inside the same camp. Listen to me. There's a lot of people that are watching the camp, the church. They're watching their church. Well, my church is still here. I haven't missed the rapture yet. The church is still here. I haven't missed the rapture yet. I'm still going to church. I'm watching the camp. And the whole time, they're dabbling with the things of the world, and they know they're not supposed to be doing it.
Right.
And they'll keep going back. Oh, back in the camp. We haven't missed the rapture yet. I haven't missed the rapture yet. They'll sing. They'll praise. And what do? They can keep going. They keep dabbling and keep dabbling and keep dabbling until finally they cross that mark, brother and sister. And many people go miss the rapture. And the whole time they're with the camp. Not all, remember, the same people that come out of Egypt perished in the wilderness because of their unbelief. Amen. Let's let the musicians come. Well, Daniel, that's not a very happy note to leave on. I want you to seriously think about that, brother and sister. I don't want to keep dabbling with this world. Samson kept dabbling with the world. He kept dabbling with Delilah over over and over and over again. And because he got away with it, he did it again. Got away with it and did it again. Got away with it and did it again. Why do we want to play with that circus down there whenever we're supposed to be up here?
Right.
Can you say amen?
Yeah.
The prophet talked about the little eagle that was strutting his wings and doing all the things he needed to do and finally took off because this little squirrel kept chattering all the time, chattering at him all the time. But what did this eagle finally do? He got away from that stinking squirrel, started flapping those wings, using God's provided way, and got back up into heaven, soaring in the heavens of the Word.
Amen.
And then those battles that were chatter, he can't even hear them anymore. Mm-hmm. Listen to me. You want to overcome the battles of the little piddly things of cutting your hair and wearing shorts and all the garbage stuff that we fight? You want to overcome that stuff? You just start soaring in the heavens. Get away from that chatter.
That's right,
brother and sister. Because whenever you start soaring up there, if you keep playing in the little chicken pen, you're going to smell like a chicken.
Right.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
You keep playing. You cannot try to live a lifestyle of a chicken in a barnyard and then have the victory of an eagle. You don't work. You'll never do it. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Let's sing something. Can't you see why I'm so happy, buddy? You do that song. Can't you see why I'm so happy?
Can't you see?
months ago, I guess it's been. And I just really want to get this off my chest before you. No, I try my best to hold a standard in our home, the best I can. Because I want my standard in my home to be to where the Spirit of God can feel freely, where the God can move freely inside our home. And, you know, I don't, my burden from my heart is I don't ever want to find myself in a place to where I'm putting heavy burdens unnecessarily on God's people. I love God's people. I do. I love you so much. I love anyone. I love this message. I do. You know, and a few months ago, I mentioned to some, I said, you know what? I said, I feel like the greatest victory that I did myself is when I took that TV out of our living room. And I did not do that in a form or a fashion to try to put a burden on some top of somebody. But listen to what I'm saying. I did it because I saw that as something that was drawing the life out of me. An opportunity to draw the life out of my family. And an opportunity to draw the life out of my friends. Because you know, you can have the best of intentions of saying, I'm going to just use this and that's all I'm going to do. I'm going to continue to pray. I'm going to continue to read. I'm going to ask you to be honest with yourself. How is that working? So Brother Daniel, that's not my trial. Praise God. But you know your trial. And you know what? Some of the greatest things we do as disciples is we are disciplined by the word. It's where we know our battles, where we will discipline ourselves. Because you know what? A seed has got the potential to manifest what it needs to. But you've got to put that seed in the right environment, brother and sister. You've got to put it in the presence of the light. You've got to put it in the presence of the word. I have no desire at all to ever to put extra heavy burdens on you, brother and sister. But I want it to be where there is a freedom of the Holy Ghost to come down, where the Holy Ghost can come and melt hearts, where God can speak to us, God can fellowship with us, where you can talk to one another. But listen to me, I believe that's one of the greatest battles we've got in this day, is that one-eyed monster that will eat up your time. Where it's a time consumer, and it's the same thing with a phone, where you can take that phone and you're scrolling, and next thing you know, you've sat on that phone for over an hour.
Right.
Scroll through that phone over and over, watching videos. You may not be looking at bad stuff. You may not be watching bad stuff, brother and sister, but listen to me, it's a time eater. And you have no control over the next thing you're fixing to see on that. Because you know what? It's whenever we will discipline ourselves and say, you know what? I want the presence of God in my life and I will make the changes that I've got to make.
Amen.
Amen. I want to ask you tonight, if you've got something that I need before the Lord, Brother Daniel, I got some changes I need to make. I need to cut some things. The Lord knows about it. Why don't you just lift your hand up and say, Lord, help me make the changes. Listen to me, brother and sister. It's up to you. It's up to you to make the changes. If anybody else got anybody got need a prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. My prayer right now is, Father, I love you tonight. And I love these people, Lord. And Father, I know that you have a provided way that your Spirit can come and you can brood. You brooded upon the earth, Lord. And Lord, you were calling the life from the seed that was in that dark, dark world. Lord, your light called the seed, Father. And Lord, I know that same pattern is what you do in homes, Lord. Well, we can't just wait on Sunday or Wednesday to have the brooding, but it's got to be a daily walk of brooding of the Holy Ghost, Lord. I ask you, Lord, would you walk through the aisles, Lord? That you knock on hearts, knock on homes, Lord. Lord, that if there's changes they need to make in their homes, Lord, that they will discipline themselves. Because, Lord, it's the bride makes herself ready. Oh, God, help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Touch us, Father, in Amen. Anybody needs prayer, we'd like to pray with you. That's what Tony does.
You know, I was thinking on the way to work this morning, these thoughts going through my mind. I said, in my thinking, meditating, when you have trials, turn your trials into faith.
Amen.
When you have sadness strike you for some reason, turn that into faith.
Amen.
don't let it beat you down, but use it. And Brother Daniel comes out here tonight talking about Hannah. And, you know, the scripture, you know, Samuel had more than one wife back then. That was, and the other wife made fun of Hannah because she didn't have a baby. Constantly, there's, you know, just like he was talking about the devil, constantly hammered. But Hannah took that and it made a desperation,
yes.
Right? Just like he illustrated, where's your baby? Where's your experience?
Amen.
Where's God moving in your life? And God was moving all along.
That's right.
Right? It's what you, you know, to see through the eyes of God, see through the eyes of faith. If God is with you, is there anything that can come your way that could knock you down and take you out?
No.
You understand what I'm saying? And so faith has no limits. See, so she took those, all that, the fact that that cry was there and she had that and it wasn't happening, she turned that into more prayer time. A seeking of God until God came through for her and delivered one of the greatest prophets that we've ever had on the earth.
Yes.
Right? The scriptures said, pertaining to Samuel, let none of God's words fall to the ground.
That's right. Man.
Didn't say that about any other prophet.
That's right.
Right? All because of one woman got desperate.
That's right.
Amen. I think that's excellent. You know, Fritz the dog was warning, and so, Lord, forgive me for illustrating your ministry. But what has your ministry been barking about?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And are you listening?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Same good analogy.
Right.
Absolutely good analogy. And so you have to fight your own battles. I know you probably get tired of hearing the ministry talk about these things, about the chicken pecking its way out of the egg and those sorts of things. But brother, sister, that's the truth. We've come to an hour where there is no other way out. There is no way forward except for our faith, for no matter what comes our way, to go into faith for the hour. And so we can see that happening like that. And so, you know, whatever God is doing in your life, Satan's going to find it. He's going to attack it.
Yeah.
If God's doing something in your midst, Satan's going to come and he's going to try his best to convince you that God's not with you, that you're on a bad path, you're not, you know, he's going to try and do that. And in doing that, discourage you. Right, you know, the scripture said he's going to try to wear out the patience of the saints.
That's right.
And that's exactly what he tries to do, is wear out everyone's patience, make them doubt who they are, doubt what they are. It comes to mind, you've heard this before, you know, that soldiers, they take those guns apart and put them back together, take them apart, put them back together, and do it. And they probably go, why? I've done this 10,000 times. But the thing of it is, you got to get so good at that you could do it in the dark.
Yes, sir.
Right, with your eyes closed. And so that, you know, a lot of they're, you know, in the natural, to be good soldiers, it requires repetition.
That's right.
But not in Christianity, not in your walk.
Come on.
Think about it.
Right.
Right?
Amen.
We can exercise ourselves physically to become really good, but the Bible says exercise yourself to godliness.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And so just always watch the parallels. That's what the prophet came. And he preached to us the parallels of types and shadows of nature. Look at those, because they're perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see the way something absolutely works, and the way God set it in order in the natural, look at that in the spiritual, in your own spiritual walk, and you will see that it's laying right there. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
We believe that. And so, if you try to replace an experience of God, and I don't mean just the first time, I mean a walk with God. If you try to replace a walk with God with something else, you're going to be sad. You're going to be disappointed.
That's right.
You're going to be defeated.
Mm-hmm.
Because that call is there, and there's only one thing that will satisfy.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And thank God for that. We appreciate that. Amen. We'll be, you know, as he said, we can't win it, but God does. His word. And so all God is saying is, look, just put your faith in me. Let me do it. And we will do it over and over, just like a test in school.
Yeah.
You do it over and over until you pass the test. Amen. How many wants to get out of here? This world's getting quickly.
Yes.
So let's start passing the test. Lord,
Amen.
Help all of us to pass the test.
Amen.
Earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I know that's not what his title was, but he read that. Earnestly contend for the faith. Amen. So... We just thank the Lord. How can you be? Sounds like a strange kingdom singing. How can you be? Spread your wings, little eagle. Yeah. How many eagles we have?
Amen.
You weren't born for the barnyard.
That's right.
Right? Amen. You were not born for the barnyard. You were born to fly. That's the anointing of this last day age.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
The lion, the ox, the man. Now the eagle, flying eagle. That's our anointing.
Amen.
God, all the rest of them are stuck on the ground, but not the eagle. This is the first age that this church has come to, the bride has come to, where our anointing is going to take us out of this earth.
Yes.
Right? What, not under the lion anointing, the ox, the calf, or the man, but only under, and if you, we've talked about it before, the eagle is the only one that feeds their young meat. All the rest of them feed them milk. According to scriptures, someone who just has milk, they're unskillful in the word. But it takes strong meat. We're here at the hour where God has to give us full word, and then we've got to come to full obedience.